You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
8 o'clock straight up. Well, 8:01 now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get to the playoffs in just a second, but let's talk about that Rockets win last night. Now, this is I know coaches make a huge difference. You know what? They're not as good without good players. We haven't seen the Spurs this. I mean, honestly, Jakob Poeltl. DeJounte Murray. It's a bunch of just, holy crap, did this whole thing fall apart? And yet, granted, they had a 15-year run, and you're not always going to be good, right? But this is pretty bad. This was falling off. This organization was the New England Patriots of the NBA. There was always a standard of excellence, and now there's this, which is awful. And for them to be 7.5-point favorite, Lance, Did you see the Spurs as a 7.5-point
favorite? I thought that was a little bit funny. I mean, that's not a very good team. I get that the Rockets aren't a very good team either, but I think the Rockets just fundamentally have more talent with their top 3 to 4 players. Listen, it was a great game by Eric Gordon. He was shooting lights out. These are the kind of games you want Eric Gordon to have as you approach trade deadline. 9 of 10 from the field, 6 3-pointers. Eric had some big free throws at the end of that game as well. But the Rockets, they're typically not – there's not a good continuous flow offensively. You're just at the mercy of are they shooting well or not. I know it sounds a little cliche because you think, yeah, obviously, Lance, you're at the mercy of if they're shooting well. But it usually doesn't come off of – like, and yesterday was no exception. They had 24 assists yesterday. That's not a high number. They are self-creating. When KPJ and Jalen Green weren't there, you know, the guys who are more – likely to just create by themselves, their assist totals were higher. They were sharing and making extra passes more. And I tell you, you want to play basketball, but at some point when you have when you have really talented players, those players are going to create. And that's what makes them talented is they can get shots for themselves. And they were getting some shots for themselves. It wasn't falling for Jalen from the perimeter, but he was getting into the paint and making some things happen at different times.
Their shot selection was much better. Yeah. So much better. I mean, they rebounded. They shot the ball great, 55%. And listen, Jalen was terrible, and they were 44%
from
3.
He was 0 of 6 from 3. But everyone else, for the most part, was good, including, by the way, Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Shot the ball well. I think he's 3 of 5 from 3. So he was he shot the ball well. Christian Wood made a couple. Eric Gordon was lights out, 6 of 7. But it was a nice effort. They were down 7. In the third quarter, they were down 7, and I thought it was 79-72, and I thought, okay, this is where it could go off the rails for them right here because they lose focus, and before you know it, a 7-point deficit can become 15 just like that for this Rockets team. But actually, the opposite happened, and they stayed locked in and focused. And what they did was they beat another not-so-good team, and they were able to impose their will as a team. They shot the ball well. They stayed within themselves. And this is one of the things that, you know, I don't know if Steven Silas makes it out. It depends on how this team plays in the second half of the season, potentially. What I do know is Jalen Green has been a much better player since he came back from injury. Kevin Porter Jr. does have the talent. I still think he probably needs to go.
What I like about Kevin Porter Jr. is these last couple of wins, he has been clutch.
Yeah, he's made some big plays in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just what I'm seeing is a team that the talent, you are seeing flashes of the preseason conversation of a team that's going to be fun to watch. You do see flashes of that. When they are playing with energy, and they are playing. They weren't the best defensively again yesterday, obviously, and I think that's going to be a problem. I don't think they buy in on the defensive end. I don't think it's a mindset that they are into currently. But I don't know. There are some positives to glean from this team, and the one that gets me the most excited is that Jalen Green is showing some growth as a player. He's not there yet, but there is an understanding that hey, I need to get off the bounce and get into the paint a little bit more. I'd like to see the 0-for-4, the 0-for-6 turn into 0-for-4 and have a couple more of the potential shots turn into aggressive penetration.
Shoot or shoot, bro.
I get it. But this isn't Daryl Morey. He's not here anymore. This doesn't have to be a thing where you just shoot for all of eternity if you're not shooting a ball well. You know, get off the bounce and get something in the paint and make something happen. So I don't know. I'm excited about the second half of the season. I'm really curious. We're about halfway through, and I'm curious to see what happens with the roster.
I'm curious to see if there are trades. If this doesn't help facilitate a trade, Eric Gordon trade.
Well, there's three names to watch: Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and Eric Gordon. In order, I would say it goes Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, and then KPJ in terms of likelihood of being traded. You can't tell me that a veteran
Tice is up there.
Yeah, probably Tice because he's a rim protector. But you can't tell me that a guy like Eric Gordon, who has playoff basketball, who can get some shots, you know, who can work off the dribble if he needs to, who has range and can shoot from three, and who will play some defense. There's got to be value in Eric Gordon.
But
there's got to be value.
Million.
Well, at the halfway point, you ain't taking $19 million.
Yeah, but you're taking another next year.
Yeah.
You're taking it next year as
well.
But
you could fade it if you're a good team.
If you're a good team.
And you know he's a good
six. But how many
good
teams have that kind of salary cap space?
I'm going to say something, and I don't want you to get upset about this. Have you considered Russell Westbrook for Eric Gordon?
I'm not upset.
Have you accepted Russell Westbrook into your life as your personal savior?
No. He's no one's. He's awful.
He stinks.
Awful.
Now there's articles every day on ESPN about, you know, they're making the excuse, like they're trying to say, hey, it's not LeBron's fault. Did you guys see how bad Russell Westbrook? And it's not LeBron's fault. LeBron's playing well. Russell Westbrook is a jinx. Russell Westbrook is a freaking jinx. You can't win at a high level with Russell Westbrook. He takes too many of the plays in his hands, and he's inefficient. Your offense is, you are always hitting on 17 with Russell Westbrook. That's just the truth. You just don't, or you're standing on 13 with Dealer showing an 8. That's how it is when Russell Westbrook is on your team, because you're going to take on some highly inefficient possessions when he's there. When the ball is in his hands, you are a less efficient team. Pretty much every team in the league.
Yeah.
Whether it's turnovers, bad shots. Russell Westbrook, once again, is in the 20% in the 3-point. But what I was looking at some of his numbers today. In 8 of his first 9 years, he was shooting in the 80% range from the free throw line. 1 year, he was in the 70s. 2 years in a row, he's shooting 65.6, I think. 2 years in a row now from the free throw line. You can't even make free throws. You're shooting free throws like somebody from Five Slamma Jamma back in the day, which was their absolute Achilles heel. You're like the Larry Meshaw free throw shooters. 65% from the free throw line? He shoots in the 20% from the 3-point line. He is a terrible shooter. I guarantee Alec.
No,
my son Alec could outshoot him.
I guarantee you. He's the worst 3-point shooter in NBA history.
He's the worst high volume shooter that I've ever seen.
In NBA history. The worst. He's the worst.
So he's a.
Isn't there anybody on the Nets that would take Eric Gordon?
Yeah, you would think.
Is there, you know, is it,
they've already given
you
all their picks.
You could get some draft picks in the 2030s.
Well, you get those fill-in picks the years that you don't have the first rounder.
No, they can't give those up. They can't. They gotta keep it every other year. So in 2040, you can get their first rounder. Or yeah, I think they've got him available in 2040. So maybe
somebody's got to want him.
I mean,
you know who could use him? Memphis. I mean, do you really want to make a trade in division though?
Worried about in division?
No, I'm not. But what about Memphis? A good young team who could use some veteran presence?
Yeah.
What about a team like Memphis?
It's actually, we're just worried about this just to get rid of his money.
I don't care about his money at all, but
Tillman does.
What would you?
Why don't you care for Tillman?
I don't
Tillman
care about
at all.
Tillman's money. He's fine. Until he starts caring about Lance's money, then I don't care about, because Tillman doesn't care about John's money.
Did you work for Tillman at some point in the restaurant business?
Oh yeah, for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Did he own Saltgrass back then?
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't know that. I don't know when he bought it, but okay. Tillman worried about your money then.
He didn't worry about my money.
He gave you an opportunity to make
Tillman
money.
Tillman doesn't care about your money
to
currently.
Pay your rent.
He doesn't care about me. Do you think Tillman ever says, "Man, I hope Lance's money's right"?
No, but
I hope Lance has figured this whole thing out. I know he was taking pay cuts during pandemic. You think his money's good?
Yeah.
Is everything good with him taking
care
of the
kids? I'm sure he is worried about that.
Tillman does not care about my money. I don't care about his money. If you got to pay Eric Gordon, stop giving Eric Gordon those contracts. That's on you. Stop telling me anything. But have people upsell the steak Oscars more. Get the Oscar add-on for your $12.95 on your steak with your crab meat, and we're good. You're going to make all that up. You got to sell a lot of steaks.
Yeah, he sells a lot of steaks.
But you do sell
a
lot of steaks.
He owns every steakhouse in the world now.
You know what? Go hire yourself an ice-cold dealer who deals people a bunch of terrible hands. You make that Eric Gordon money up like that.
He does that right away.
I've been at tables with coolers. He's fine.
I'm just worried a little bit about that $19 million. That's all.
I'm not worried at all.
Are you not worried about the 47 he's got to give John Wall?
I'm not worried about any of it.
Sleeping bag?
Not worried about any of it. All I'm worried about is what can you get for said players? And my question about what can you get for Eric Gordon, I mean, you can't get a first, right? A back end of the first? I mean, it's not – people don't cherish those picks. They don't really like those picks, being on the hook for those picks. Could you get – you know who could use Eric Gordon? 76ers. Daryl, you love him. We'll take your first. You hate first-round picks, and you love Eric Gordon.
Ben Simmons.
Isn't this – yeah.
Don't think Ben Simmons would be fine on this team?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
You know what?
No,
Daryl really wants to hurt Ben Simmons.
I actually want to – yeah, that's right. If you want to
send him to Rockets.
If you really want to send Ben a message.
No, but that guy, he doesn't – everybody on the floor, that's all they do is shoot. Ben Simmons would be like, here, you have it.
I don't get the feeling he's the mentally tough player I want either. But he actually – well, he doesn't play now. But he has played basketball before.
He did play basketball one time.
I don't know that John Wall has played that much basketball over the last 3 years. So, yeah, if you're willing to discuss the John Wall thing, we'll discuss the Ben Simmons thing.
Even Daryl will be like, what?
Do you know that teams are now complaining like, Daryl won't back off of what he's asking. This isn't fair. People writing articles like, that man can do whatever he wants. If he says you can't have Ben Simmons unless you pay the price that we set in the fall, well, we don't have fall here, but if you don't pay the price that we set in the summer for Ben Simmons, then you ain't getting Ben Simmons. This isn't fair. Change the asking price. I got news for y'all. Daryl is a curmudgeon when it comes to trades. You are not getting a discount on Ben Simmons.
You ain't getting it.
He's just not going to give you a discount on Ben Simmons.
I'm telling you this. Nick Caserio, same way.
Yeah.
You ain't getting
Like it when it's my team. I do think it's a different situation because we have nothing left. There is no Joel Embiid anywhere on this roster for the Texans. However, at some point it might be better for the team. But I guess as long as Ben Simmons is away from the team and there's no drama, it's basically Daryl saying, I'm willing to wait. One team, there will eventually be a team who gives me what I want. That's what he's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It's not going to be. I mean, the Rockets aren't going to get
Ben Simmons.
I don't care. Ben Simmons
sits for 3 years, 8 years. Who cares?
Yeah. I ain't worried about your money either.
No, Ben Simmons got money. We ain't worried about that.
I ain't worried about Ben's money, Daryl's money. I got news for you. If you're not worried about Lance's money, Lance ain't worried about your money.
The only one worried about Lance's money is Nicole.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I worry about her. All you other people, I'm not worried about, what if this owner has to pay this amount of money? Don't care. Unless it's screwing up my team from a salary cap standpoint, I don't
care. It is screwing up.
I don't care about their money. Like, I hope they're richer. I hope they can get richer somehow. This isn't fair to them with their tax cuts.
Well, it's not
tax shelters.
The way that Daryl left this whole thing for Tillman.
No, I don't care about Tillman. I care about the way Daryl left it for fans.
I care about people.
Nah, Tillman Schmillman. He's fine.
You're just a selfish
Tillman's
person.
Fine. I care about how he left it for fans.
Yeah. No.
No, that's what I care about. Tillman is the owner. He's going to keep making money. I don't care about that. What I care about is how he left it for fans. And he left it a mess for fans. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Daryl kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, eventually you let James Harden bully you into some terrible moves, and now here we are. Well, the terrible move, actually, getting Chris Paul wasn't a terrible move. The terrible move was Chris Paul for Russ Westbrook.
Yes.
That was the terrible
move. Awful. 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk about those playoffs, NFL playoffs on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere. That's no jab at you, Lance.
SiteJab is here to build out your websites and to build out your brand, to build out your company. Your company, right? Let's be honest. Maybe you're old school and you say, I don't know, I guess we'll get a website, and you have something up that's been up there since 2006, and it's awful. You have somebody working off of a jacked up WordPress, and it's a family member. I'm telling you right now, let the experts over at SiteJab build out a website, and it doesn't have to be super complicated. They can build it so that you can work on the back end to make any changes that you want on the site to keep it current. But the bottom line is, it needs to look great. It needs to be functional. It needs to look like your business functions, which is highly operational and successful. That's what your website is presenting to people, or it's doing the opposite. So make sure, I don't care how old school you are, get with the company locally who's doing a great job of putting you, shining your company, putting the best light on your company, whether it's video integration or portfolios of all the work that you do, or even e-commerce, they can help you out. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you've got any thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. Will wants to talk about the Rockets and the NFL playoffs. Very appropriate here. Will, what you want to say? Will, are you there? No, Will.
Sorry. Good morning. Oh. Sorry, y'all. No, good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Long-time listener, big fan. So, yeah, with the Rockets, you know, I kind of agree with Lance, obviously. Daryl Morey left this organization in ruins. So now, you know, Rafa Stone and Steven Silas have an uphill battle to climb, right, to get us competitive. I would ultimately like to see, if Christian Wood and Eric Gordon are not traded by the deadline, for me, that would be a failing grade for the Rockets for the back half of the season. I just think that there is trade value for, you know, a veteran in Eric Gordon, right, who's been playing well as of late, and then Christian Wood, someone who's on a modest contract, and it's pretty much a double-double anytime he gets over 20 to 30 minutes. So I would like to see them two gone. I frankly don't know what's the latest with John Wall, but if there'd be any way to dump that contract, that'd be all well and good. So that's my Rockets take. And I guess with the NFL playoffs, you know, I wanted y'all's opinion. I mean, I know the Packers are the number one seed and they're on bye, but do you think the expectation is that Aaron Rodgers has to win one more to truly cement his legacy? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's put up those numbers, but I just find it someone of his caliber, I find it bizarre that he's only won one Super Bowl. And I'll hang up and listen. Take care, guys.
No, his legacy is cemented. I do think that, from a Hall of Fame standpoint, Aaron Rodgers has been in for a while. His legacy as a top three of all time, a Super Bowl does that for him. Getting there three times and winning it twice, I think would, he's been there three times. He's only been there once, right? He was there the one time he beat the Steelers. The other ones were Brett when he beat the Steelers. Well, so going 2-for-2 in the Super Bowl, it is a big deal. That 1-to-2 is just such a big deal. And, to me, I think Aaron Rodgers goes down as the second-best quarterback, potentially the second-best quarterback of all time. It's funny that Peyton Manning has kind of lost so much steam. For a while, it was Manning versus Brady, and it was a back-and-forth, who's the greatest quarterback of all time?
Oh, I don't know. I thought Montana was always still in there.
You did? Yeah. I think it's been over once both those players hit their late 30s and they were still doing that stuff, I felt like amongst most football fans, Joe is revered, but I think you got to be a little bit more old school fan to still have Joe in there. I think Joe was a great quarterback, but man, they did some special stuff. They did some special stuff statistically that Joe never had a chance to do because football wasn't played like
that. Yeah, here's the problem with Peyton was he had only won the one with the Colts. And actually, he didn't even play that big a role in Denver. Actually, he was pretty bad that year. He won the second one. So, I don't know. To me, it's
they
never
won
been
despite Peyton.
Yeah, To me,
but it's... before then, if you go look, if you go look at 2010,
his 50 touchdowns,
2009, 2010, 2000, yeah, and look at some of Tom Brady's, which he had kind of come down a little bit. There was legitimate conversation. I remember having conversations about who is the best quarterback of all time. Is it Brady or Manning? You know, or who do you think is the best between Brady or Manning? But then Brady obviously extended the lead. Aaron Rodgers. To me, it's Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino in terms of best passing talent, just pure arm talent, freaky stuff. Dan just didn't have any. Dan was already not the most mobile guy, and then he had the Achilles tear, and he was less mobile. But when it comes to just pure arm talent.
And then there was the winning thing. He only got to the Super Bowl in his second year.
But if Dan Marino did, I think Dan Marino would be in all these conversations we have.
But Aaron has to, if he's going to be considered, I think, even the second best or, you know, talk about him in the same breath as Brady, he's got to win another. He's got to.
Yeah.
I mean, he's too good to not be. I mean, that's the thing about Dan Marino is, you're right, as far as passing ability, maybe the greatest of all time. And yet, we can't say it because he just didn't win. Didn't win enough. Raiders and Bengals. That's the first game. At the Bengals. High scoring, low scoring?
I actually think a lot of these are going to be lower scoring. But
first of all, the cold is going to have something to do with that.
Yeah. I like the Bengals here. I think the Raiders have run out of gas. They had to put a lot of
effort. They played their best football the last 2 weeks.
No, I know. But I just think a lot of effort and energy has gone into it. Remember, this has been a longer than normal season. I think the Bengals right now know who they are. I think Joe Burrow's playing some of his best football. I think it's a bad spot for
the
Raiders.
I think that knee might be a problem. Okay.
For Joe?
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, it didn't stop him from having five touchdowns.
Well, that was when he hurt it. That's when he hurt it at the end of that game.
Was it the very end of the game?
Yeah, it was the very end of the game. Remember, they came in.
And then you just pissed
them
off.
The backup came in, had to take the snaps, and they kicked the field goal.
And you just pissed them off. Then all you did was piss Joe off. He's going to be even better.
I don't know. I think we're underestimating the Raiders. 5.5 right now, right? 5.5.
No, I have a healthy respect for the Raiders. I just think once you get in the playoffs, I'm not a Derek Carr truther at all. And once you get into the playoffs, this is a game. I mean, show me the game where Derek Carr gets there in the playoffs. Has Derek ever even made the playoffs?
No. Derek Carr got hurt the year the Texans beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
Hey, the Raiders probably win that game if Derek Carr had an unbelievable season that year.
Derek, I don't trust Derek in a road playoff game. Now, you could argue that these have been playoff games for him. Indianapolis, that was a playoff game. The Chargers, that was a playoff game. That's a lot for a team to go through those emotional. When you get up, at some point you're going to come out a little flat. And I think cold weather, for a warm weather team, you're going cold weather. I'm assuming it's going to be cold in Cincinnati. You're going to be cold weather elements. I just like Joe Burrow, the running game. I think the Raiders come out flat. As a matter of fact, I love Cincinnati.
I'm taking the 5.5. They've played a lot of really good. They've got a great kicker in Daniel Carlson. That will make a difference. I think the Raiders are playing that right with their hair on fire, and they have been, and they will continue to play that way. I've seen the Bengals too up and down this year.
Yeah, well, Raiders have been up and down too. Yeah, that's the nature of the game. But by the way, I don't know if Five Star. Did we get confirmation from Five Star he's coming on? I mean, there is no college football. He doesn't really do pro. Yeah, I don't think we have Five Star today, but I can reach out to him about tomorrow.
He hasn't sent me anything.
Yeah, I can reach out to him about tomorrow, but. I thought about it, but I'm just trying to find a team. I'm not worried about the point spread. I just want to find who's the team most. I'm going to assume the line makers did their job on the point spread, so which team is most ready to play? And I just think the Raiders have been through so much. Now they're making that cross-country trip again from warm weather to cold weather after highly emotional games the last 2 weeks. I just think they're going to come out flat. I'm not a believer. I do believe in Joe Burrow's will. I don't believe in Derek Carr's will, and I think that, you know, Joe Mixon, you have to really give it up to Joe Mixon because he's a major, major factor on the ground right now for them. So, I'm going to take Cincinnati on that one.
Right.
Who do you have on the other one?
I got the Raiders. The game Saturday night is New England at Buffalo.
That's tough. It's 4. Man, do you take a rookie? I would love to take New England plus a 4 because I think it's going to be played inside a 3. I think it's going to be played inside a 4. I think 0, 1, 2, 3, 3.5. Well, I think 1, 2, 3, 3.5. All those numbers are key numbers here. The problem is I got a rookie going on the road. And as much as I think Mac Jones has done a really nice job and been better than I expected and most people expected, I don't know if I can get down with Mac Jones on the road against him.
11 degrees. Where? Saturday in Buffalo.
Híjole. Well, I mean, New England knows what it means to be cold. Yeah. Mac Jones is from Alabama.
What I'm looking at is over under 44.
Oh, no, I've already shot at the under.
The under.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with New England's defense. But Bill Belichick against Josh Allen. Devin Singletary has been running the ball better lately. And really, they actually really well. Have given him the ball more lately.
Devin Singletary, once they finally committed and stopped doing
this
the
This is
Zach
the last
Moss,
couple of weeks they've done.
Yeah, he's become – what if the, I'm going to pull up the numbers, but he has been like an out of nowhere they've got a running attack. Literally out of nowhere.
Which they didn't have at all.
Devin Singletary's last two games, 23 for 110 against Atlanta and against New Jersey, which, you know, I mean, against the Jets, take it for what it's worth, 19 for 88. He's got three touchdowns. So he's rushed for almost 200 yards and three touchdowns his last two games. Before then, you got to go back to week two against Miami where he had 82 yards rushing on 13 carries. But, yeah, if they can run the football, it's a big deal because you can kind of eat up that clock. This, you are going to have to run the football in this weather.
Brian Daboll has been – he finally, I think, woke up to this. He's had Josh Allen has been their entire offense all season long. And finally they woke up to Devin Singletary.
Some diminishing
this
returns.
Is something that New England has to worry about.
This is some diminished. Oh yeah. This is diminishing returns though, because you ask Josh Allen to do too much. Eventually he's going to do some not smart stuff.
Right.
So having that running game makes him a better quarterback too.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. I just can't lay four. New England to me is too good defensively. The cold weather immediately shrinks the total points scored potentially. I like under better. I like under, and if I a gun to my head, I'd probably take the points of the Patriots, but I don't love it. I just don't love it. I might play under total points for the Patriots.
All right, 10
points.
We got a few more games to break down here on ESPN 97.
Mark wants to talk O-line prospects. If we got guys, if there's ever Aaron, if there's ever a call about offensive line prospects,
yeah,
that immediately cut in and don't hang up.
Hang up.
Immediately cut in on what we're talking about and bring in a line talk.
Here's an update. Someone wants to talk about an offensive lineman. Oh my God.
Oh, better not be Ken Hoffman trying to talk about Joe.
Everybody's hanging at the. Oh, are you kidding?
Yes.
Everybody's in their car right now. Man, I can't go now. Somebody wants to talk
guys,
about the
listen,
offensive
if you're
line
in your car,
prospects.
You're at work. Sit tight. In 3.5 minutes,
crap.
We're going to get to some O-line talk.
The worst.
So do not get out of that car.
Oh, my God. You know what? I need somebody to call in about golf. Somebody call in about how your drives are right now. How are your drives, right? How are you with your driver right now? And should be you be using a 3-wood off the tee? 713-780-3776. No, right now, though, let's talk about my man, Patrick Chastain, Joe Chastain. Over at Chastain Ford. It starts at the top, people. And you see great organizations, right? And we talk about it in sports all the time. It starts with the ownership. It starts with the philosophy. It starts with great people. It starts with a great plan, right? And this is what they've got. Tony's a great sales manager. Allie, Justin, the people, everybody there cannot be nicer, cannot be better. And it starts at the top. Where Patrick, the first thing he told me was, we will never add on. We will never do that to people. And that is a philosophy that you don't see at any other dealership. We're just not going to do that. As a matter of fact, the other dealerships are like, hey, you sold that car. Why didn't you sell? Why was there no bed liner in it? Why didn't they get that package? Why is there no sunroof? We got to up this. We got to keep on getting more for those cars. And that's not what they do at Chastain Ford ever, ever, ever. You get what you want. And you get it at the price that you have to have it at, because that's one of the first questions they ask as well, is where do your payments have to be? Because they want you comfortable in that Ford car or truck. At ChastainFord.com, you can do it all online, or you can get to the dealership at 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. See my peeps at Chastain Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, while we're back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll keep diving into the playoffs here in just a second, but Lance is all excited, and it's a little bit disconcerting here. It's almost like I'm next to the Portland Pickles. He's all excited to talk about.
That's an old callback. That's an hour and a half old from what we did on the show. You're gonna have to resell that whole thing.
Anyway, if you were here, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, oh well, then get here earlier.
yeah, right.
Mark wants to talk about O-line prospects.
Yeah.
What up, Mark?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Well, as a tortured Giants fan, we know that we only have one keeper in Andrew Thomas, and we're going to need four starting offensive linemen next year. So luckily we have picks 5 and 7 plus some other good picks, extra picks. I wanted to ask Lance a couple specific questions. A lot of people, I mean, I've watched the tape. I love Linderbaum just like everybody else does. Do you think that it's really worth overdrafting Linderbaum where we are in the top 10? Or do you think we have a chance at him if we drop out of those picks?
No, you don't draft a center. You don't draft an undersized.
Undersized.
Zone scheme center. He's 6'2", 290. Like, he's small. So, no, if you wanted a guy like that, you trade back in the draft, and then you'll still get him at some point. Back into the first. Maybe he may even fall to the second because of how small he is. So we'll see. I don't think the arms are going to measure long. He's not going to measure big. We'll see if he can even get into the 300s by combine time. So, no, you in no way would you take a zone center in the top 10. As a matter of fact, Alex Gibbs would call you an absolute fool. You know, one of the godfathers of outside zone play who was here as a consultant in Houston. His whole belief is that you get guys like Chris Myers, you know, you trade for him with a 6th-round pick or you draft him in the 5th or 6th. So there's going to be some people who say, no, you can go find zone scheme centers. I think Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa has a chance to become an all-pro, but it's a very specific scheme he has to play in.
Well, if Evan Neal falls to 5, you grab him.
Yeah.
And what about Cross? Is he draftable at 5 or 7?
That feels a little high, but I like Cross, and then Icky is a little more up and down from North Carolina State. But those would be, I think Kenyon Green from A&M is going to start getting some love in the process. That would be a little bit high, but I think in a trade-back scenario, there's another starting guard he's a real road grader as a run blocker from A&M. Like, I was really impressed. I didn't expect to be impressed, but I was like, I saw some reps that reminded me of Quentin Nelson when he was at Notre Dame. So I like Kenyon Green as a starting guard, too, potentially in the first round. I like Tyler Linderbaum, but it's going to have to be later on. So,
you know, what's worse than just talking about O-line prospects, but is talking about New York Giant O-line prospects.
Well, I mean, they need so much help. I
don't give a rat.
I feel for the Mara.
You care for the Maras.
Yeah.
Now you don't care about
Tillman. I'm worried about their money.
You're worried about the Maras.
Yeah,
money.
I'm worried about another team's ownership.
He was awfully disappointed, wasn't he? We got some here. Is which Mara is this?
Wouldn't you be disappointed too if you're the Giants?
Yeah.
Every year I would honestly, I'd almost rather be the Texans than the Giants right now.
The Giants suck. The Giants suck. And as a matter of fact, their owner knows it.
Hey, John, I'm curious. Is this your lowest moment in your association with the Giants? And is this as embarrassed as you've been about the franchise?
Honestly, I would have to say yes. Yes, it is. I kept thinking during the season that we had hit rock bottom, and then each week it got a little worse. So, honestly, I'm not proud of saying this, but if I'm going to be 100% honest, I would have to say the answer is yes.
The lowest moment as the Giants owner. That's saying something now. That's really, really saying something to be the lowest moment of the Giants, because they've sucked. Other than the two, I mean, they do have two Super Bowls as opposed to, yeah, I guess I'm making fun of the Giants with their two Super Bowls right there in the last, they had Parcells Super Bowl. They've got three Super Bowls over the years. Yeah. And the Texans are close. They're right there. They've got to get the ox out of the ditch, and they're going to be right there. They're right there. That's what all the owners are telling Cal now. Remember when they told Bob that? You guys are right there.
You guys are there. Well, but
after
actually,
the Baltimore loss.
But they were right there. The were Baltimore
they,
loss when they had.
Did you at any point? Yeah, they're going to run right through the Patriots and get there.
No, I legitimately thought the Houston. I thought the way that they ran the football and the defense they had with Wade Phillips' defense. I think there is a chance that if Matt Schaub had been there, that they. I think they would have been an AFC championship game, and I think they had a chance to be a Super Bowl team. Teams couldn't stop Arian Foster. They couldn't stop the running game. And as long as you could run the ball and work off play action, you had a shot. I mean, I always felt like the 11 team was had potential to make a deeper run than 12 just based on the way it was built up because your defense was so much better with Wade Phillips and 11. With having Danielle Manning and Jonathan Joseph – And a year two of Kareem Jackson, like they made substantial gains in the secondary at that point. That was I thought there was something that didn't quite feel right about the 2012 Texans, even though they had all those wins. I never had the same feeling about the 12. It probably because Wade's defense wasn't as dangerous at rushing the quarterback, even though J.J. Watt was defensive player of the, I think he was defensive player of the year in 12. But man, that 11 team had the whole unit was swarming on people. Mm. Antonio Smith, JJ, Connor Barwin, the long hair guy. What was his name? Brooks Reed. Remember they had? I mean, they were a good football team.
At no point did I ever say that
they put 200 yards rushing on Indianapolis.
They're going to win it all. Wade went into the
look at what they did in
the
game
13
one.
No, season as one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl, and they won two games.
No, not 13. Yeah. I didn't think they were right there.
No, going into that season, they were.
But the ox in the ditch year was 2011.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, they won a game more. They won 12 games the next year. 13 seemed weird that the Texans, they had clearly taken a step down defensively. Matt Schaub had showed himself to be terrified of defenses. That was weird for me that they still had 13 as a favorite. I felt like, what? They should be a good team, but the favorite? Matt Schaub has his whole vibe has taken a hit. The defense isn't as good at rushing a passer. No, that didn't feel right in 13. 11? Yeah, I could see being excited after 11 because I remember thinking, man, yeah. If Matt Schaub were here instead of
at no point instead of I think Matt Schaub was Yates, taking them to the promised
instead
land.
Instead of T.J.
At
Yates,
zero time in
well,
my
you
life.
Didn't think so. Also about Joe Flacco, but they won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, no. Defense. I mean, you're right. Joe Flacco surprised me. Matt Schaub didn't.
Well, Matt Schaub didn't get a chance that year.
Yeah,
he was hurt. Schaub was having a good year. Go look at Matt Schaub.
He had a really good year.
Tell me what you think of him in 11.
He had a really good year. And at no point did I think they were winning the Super Bowl.
Okay. But, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that they were pretty close. I mean, they were one of the top three teams in the AFC. Yeah. It was Texans, Ravens, and I want to say, where was Indianapolis at that point? They couldn't have been good because JJ was a rookie year. That was when they had Dan Orlovsky.
And where was New England?
Yeah, it was New England, Ravens, and Texans were the big three. That's when Indianapolis was terrible.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776. We'll get to the other those other games that we haven't talked about yet in the postseason.
I think Indianapolis was terrible
this weekend. Don't go anywhere. Right now though, give me the VIN. That's what I'm talking about. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for a great way to sell your car, the best way to sell your car, as a matter of fact. I'm telling you, all you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, and you are going to get the most money for your vehicle, period, exclamation point. John Clay Wolf says, if I can't beat CarMax, if I can't beat the dealership, I'm sending you $100. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to beat the dealership. He's going to beat CarMax. He's going to give you the most for your car, and let him take the loss, okay? So if John Clay Wolf wants to give you more than that car is worth, then you know what? Let John Clay Wolf do that. Don't worry about John Clay Wolf's money. John Clay Wolf is just fine. I think he bought over $1 billion worth of cars last year. That's unbelievable. And you don't do that unless you're giving the most, period, exclamation point. So make sure, even if you are going to sell it to somebody else, go in armed with how much it's worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5, 850, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Can we get to the other games?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you guys want O-line talk, 713. If your favorite team needs offensive line help, 713-780-3776. Oh, five-star is calling in today.
My gosh.
He's got his picks. Oh, interesting. Interesting
Let's
picks, Mr. Five-star.
Okay, maybe he's going to jump on this game. The Eagles plus 8.5 against Tampa. Under, over, 46.
Under. I think Tampa gets their little defensive swagger back. Todd Bowles will have a little something ready for Jalen Hurts, and I think it's going to be an ugly game, something like 24-13, 27-10. I don't think it's going to be a good game.
You don't?
No.
So you like to get
like
the
under,
points?
Though.
You like the under and the favorite and the under?
I like team under for Eagles too. Todd Bowles is a mother now. He can really dial some stuff up on you. And Jalen Hurts, to me, he's going to go to school on Jalen Hurts' tendencies, and I think it's I don't know. I don't know how Philadelphia is going to.
I know the Eagles went on a little run that was actually pretty decent
against good teams.
But then we saw, Minshew come in last week, and I don't want that to, take away from. Now the Eagles aren't a great football. They're not a great football team. But you know what? The Bucs have not been playing good football. They just haven't. They have not played. They have not played great.
No, that's one of the reasons I like the under. They're not in a groove. They're not in a rhythm at all, especially offensively. But they almost got beat by the Jets.
Yeah, the Eagles went on a nice tear. They beat the Jets, the football team, the Giants, and then the football team.
Ooh, how do you do that?
How do you win those games? How do you get through that?
Eagles fans, they've been in a fight about Jalen Hurts the whole time. I still think you don't have your answer. For people who said, we found our quarterback. Yeah. I don't know. I think you found a quarterback, and I think he's, once again, is he quarterback you win, you compete for a championship with? At the end of the day, that's really all that matters.
Does it matter to you that they played earlier in the year and it was a 28-22 game?
Not that much, but
so
you consider
it. That would be dog over.
Yeah.
That was in Philadelphia.
What's the weather going to be in Tampa?
Nice.
Let me guess, probably in the 60s.
Nice. Yeah.
If you're in Houston, you might have it. Depends. You might be freezing cold.
The home of Rachel Balkovec. Did you see her this morning?
I did.
Rachel Balkovec, good for her.
Minor league manager.
Minor league manager. Tampa is Sunday.
71 and rain.
Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what the odds are here of rain. 71 and 70%
chance.
There is 70% chance of rain.
When?
Sunday in Tampa.
Here or
in Tampa.
So what do you? So how does that?
I already like the under. I like it even more now.
Really? And with rain?
I don't
know that's going to affect it that much.
Rain?
Rain doesn't kill. No. Rain doesn't. Especially in warm.
Slippery
weather.
Ball.
In warm weather, that's not as big an effect.
I still like the under. I like the under whether it's raining, snowing, warm. They're not playing.
Wind
well.
Has a bigger effect on the game than rain does.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not playing well. The Bucs aren't playing.
No,
well
they're
offensively.
Not. The Eagles aren't playing well either. The Eagles got their ass handed to them, and they beat really bad football teams to get here. I'm with you. I think I like the Bucs and the under. San Francisco and the Cowboys. Wow. Now,
it's that time. Cowboys in playoffs. Crank up that fade diesel. I'm on the other side. Woohoo! Look at me driving my big fading truck. Ooh, give me what do you got in the back of that truck? Yes, it looks like a heavy load. Oh, it's just full of points and dollars.
I just took the points and just cashed in big. It's just some points and some dollars back there. Fading the Cowboys. Choo choo.
I'm doing a truck driver and a train sound at
and
the same
a train
time.
Too.
Yeah. But that's how I'm riding.
Over under 51. I like the under in this one. San Francisco is going to run the football. They're not explosive. I think that this is going to, although, you know, the Cowboys are pretty explosive, but you can stagnate that offense, though, defensively. I think I like the 49ers in this one as well. Mm-hmm. I do, but I just can't stand the Cowboys. So I think that that's bad. I think
that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm betting with my heart here with the San Francisco because I just can't stand the Cowboys. You like the points.
I take the points. Break.
What do you think, high scoring or low
scoring?
I take
the points. I think it's got a chance to be higher scoring.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's got that chance. Dallas has that. You know, I went and looked at Trevon Diggs' numbers, total numbers. You know, he's allowed over 1,000 yards receiving this year. It's a lot.
Yeah, he has, but he's around the ball all the time because they keep throwing at him.
Yeah.
That's why he got so many picks.
He takes a lot of chances,
yeah.
too. So
yeah,
he's got great ball skills when he's around it, you know.
But here's what the 49ers remember on their great playoff run, what'd they do? Jimmy G threw for 80 yards.
Yeah, it was. So Elijah Mitchell's back. They can run the ball with Elijah. They can run the ball with Debo. They have two running. Like, Debo is a legit running back. He's really talented. So, you know, the whole thing, that's one of the reasons I kind of like the over is I think that, although it is Jimmy G, it's tough fate. It's tough with Jimmy G. I think San Francisco's worth taking a shot at to win the NFC because they have a team that I could see getting hot at the right time. Dallas does too, but they're Dallas in the playoffs. Like, I'm not going to just forget about that. They're the James Harden of playoffs.
Yeah. They really are. And then the winner gets to Tampa. The winner goes to Tampa, and then the other game, the Rams goes to the Rams Cardinals go to unless it is San Francisco. So we have no idea. But I think I like the 49ers in this one as well. I like the 49ers. They're going to run the football. And Steelers, I'm going to tell you this. Big Ben had some things to say yesterday. You know, everybody's down on the Steelers. Big Ben, I think he realizes. Did you see there's a meme out there, an invitation to Ben's retirement party?
No.
It's Kansas City, and, you know, it's Kansas City Stadium. So if you want to go and see Ben and have a party. Ben thinks, hey, you know what? We understand why we're a big dog here.
We probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14.
Yep.
We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Damn, Ben is just keeping it real, isn't it?
It is real, though.
Out of 14, we're probably 14. Let's just go have fun.
I don't know. I think the Eagles are probably 14.
I feel like Steelers
are. Really?
Steelers suck.
You really think that?
They can't crank up any offense.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. I think that they're going to. Kansas City has struggled at times offensively, and I think Pittsburgh can definitely halt that offense.
Yeah, but
this under over is 46.5. I like the under on this.
Yeah, but they're playing way better the Chiefs are than the Steelers. I mean, than the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay Bucks aren't even playing good football.
No.
Kansas City's winning
games.
But
we've seen Kansas City's offense stall this year.
But
and especially
we have,
with
but
pressure
no,
on Pat
there's
Mahomes.
No Chris, there's no Godwin over in Tampa Bay. They're just coming
well,
off
I'm not comparing that. I'm talking about Steelers being able to stop the Chiefs.
Oh, I think they can slow them down. I don't know where the offense comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know how Ben does it. Like, I just don't. Like you said, I could see under in that one.
Under.
Yeah. But I don't know how Ben. Like, how does Ben fight? Can Najee Harris dominate a game? He's had some moments recently, but can he dominate a game against Kansas City if they load the front to stop the run? Can Ben win if they load the front up? Oh, I mean, no.
No, but actually, I'd like the Steelers and the under. I'm going Steelers under in this one. It's
I'm going 31-0 Chiefs.
Really?
I'm going to give Ben a shutout.
You're going to give Ben a
shot. I'm going to shut Ben out in his last game.
Watch Ben show
you. It'd be a
you.
Good story.
It'd be a great
story. I would actually like that story.
It would be a great story.
But mostly because
they cover. But to me, it's a great story if they cover.
Boy, to get a cover in this situation, what an amazing story. To cover in this scenario.
And then we got the other one more game to talk about, but we also got Gilbert. So here's the deal.
Gee, money.
We will interview Gilbert.
That's
on the
not
other side.
The real Gilbert. He wants to talk Rockets. When does Gilbert talk
Gilbert
Rockets?
Gilbert loves the Rockets. He loves his Rockets. I don't know what you're talking about. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on what we've been talking about? You're more than welcome. And you can hear Gilbert on the other side.
ESPN 97.5.